Hey, this is Elizabeth.
This is Keisha.
Hi, this is Leslie Sullivan, and welcome to the Mustard Seed Podcast.
So, welcome back to the table. We are here in my kitchen today, which is a little different, so the sound might be a little off. It's a little echoey, I think. Stephen found that out last episode for him. But we are here, so it's Keisha and I, and we have our first ever guest.
I'm the first?
You are. You're the first.
Aww.
So we have Gracie. She is our one of our youth pastors at our church. Mm-hmm. And so we wanted to have her on because not only is she amazing with our youth, but she's an amazing woman.
Mm. Well, thanks.
You're welcome.
You and Lena has really turned around the youth, I think. Big time.
So much.
We love them. They're special. We love them a
lot. And that says volumes. When you love kids that are not your own, as if they are your own, that says a lot about your,
yeah,
about your ministry. So we just thought we'd have Grace come on and just kind of talk about, we just, like, you know, put her on the spot. Not full Jeopardy, like I said, but, mm-hmm, you know, still putting her on the spot. Just kind of talking about her mission and what they do and what they see and what we can do and help equip the youth of America and for to help raising up this next generation. No pressure.
Thanks.
You just have one of the most important jobs in the
ever.
Church.
Yeah, because not only is she a youth leader, but she also, or youth pastor, but she also teaches. Mm-hmm. So you're youthed out.
Yeah. I only talk to people under the age of 14 every day, all day.
You're surrounded. Yeah. Bless your heart.
It doesn't count, Landon, right?
Depends on the day.
So I guess, do the thing that we all hate as introverts. Mm. Tell us about you. What's your favorite color? No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, goodness. Okay. Well, like she said, I'm Gracie. I'm married to Landon, who is the awesome youth pastor, and we run around and do crazy things and run around with the kids and take them places, and they wear us out, and it's awesome. It's so much fun. Yes.
But I know the kids love to come.
Oh,
like,
my gosh. Yes.
You know, I know a couple kids have. Their parents don't come. They still come. You know, they want to be there. It's great.
They're just awesome kids, too. That helps when their parents are awesome, you know. And they're pretty awesome kids, too. But, no, they're just a special group.
Like, there's a lot of Wednesdays. Not a lot of Wednesdays, but there's a handful where Jackson's like, I still want to go. And I'm like, I feel like garbage. I don't want to go. And I'll drop him off still because, yeah, I know. I'm like, I don't want him to miss out on that. That was my whole childhood. Mm-hmm. Not my whole childhood, but my youth years were some of the best that I had. My youth pastor was amazing. You know, once I aged out of youth group, I became a youth leader because I didn't want to leave, you know, and our youth group is pretty big. Mm-hmm. So I'm so, so grateful that you guys do that because then, mm-hmm, Jackson has that experience that I wanted him to have.
And it's great. It's great to see the kids want to go. Mm-hmm. And it's such a important time for these kids too, so you have,
yeah,
it just means so much.
And that's how youth was for me growing up too. I went to a big youth group, and my youth pastor is still somebody that I talk to, and talk to his wife still as well. And I just want our youth to have those same memories and see how much fun church can be and how, mm-hmm, much fun having church friends can be. And, mm-hmm, so it's just special. It's, yeah, a special group.
And then you guys too, I guess you're talking about have fun having the church friends would be, you guys do the thing within our community too, like you guys are a part of where all the youth groups come together, mm-hmm, so that way it's, which I think is, I mean, you know more about that than I do, but I think it's a great thing because then Jackson sees kids that he goes to school with. It's like, oh, those kids also go to church. Mm-hmm. Might not be his church, but then it's like somebody else that he can connect with out, like, at school to know that they're a Christian too. I mean, we do live in a little bit of a blessed area when it, mm-hmm, comes to that, because most everybody somewhere has a home church, whether they act like it or not, that we have home churches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Fusion's been really neat the last couple times we've been. I mean, there's 200 plus kids, mm-hmm, that literally take over a church on a Wednesday night. They take it over. And seeing them all get together, and especially the worship. There's a worship band that's just students from different churches, mm-hmm, and all the kids are singing. I don't know. It's just, it is neat. It's neat to see all of them get together and fellowship and hang out and do church together.
Yeah. How often does that meet?
Like once a quarter-ish. Okay. A couple times a year. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. So we just had one in August, and then we'll have one again in the winter. We'll do one more for the year.
That's great.
Yeah.
See, our youth group had a band too, so it was all of our, it was only youth that did our band too. But again, we had to, like I said, we had a bigger one. I know that would be a lot difficult for our church. Pretty much everybody that goes on Wednesday nights would be in the band. Mm-hmm. But yeah,
so. We asked that question one time and they looked at us like we were stupid.
So what do you find the most challenging about what you do, teaching or youth pastoring?
I think they're just faced with so many different things all at one time. And a lot of it is social media, but a lot of it's their friends. A lot of it's just the world we live in and they're surrounded by it. Mm-hmm. Whether it is youth and they do have some kind of grounding and foundation to base off of so they can handle those situations better, or just being, you know, teaching at school and these kids are the exact same age and they're just bombarded by everything. Yeah. And I don't think they know how to navigate it.
I think this generation they get so exposed so much more than what we ever did growing up, with so much social media and everything is just right at your fingertips.
Yeah. And even like with everything that's happened in the last week, they're just so desensitized because they're so like, that's just what their life is right now. Yeah. Like they're just bombarded by everything. So that's, I think, challenging for all of us, but especially for them because it's all they know.
Yeah. And that makes it harder to reach them because I just can't imagine. There's so much they have to deal with. But it's such an important age because this is the age that we have to equip them, to prepare them for the world and for this world who is against us.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the next step before adulthood. Mm-hmm. You know, they're going to go to college where they're going to get a lot louder voices than they're ever going to see. Or maybe they don't go to college. I mean, that's also an option because trade school is also just a good option, which is what I tell my boys. You can go to trade school because you can make more money and have no student debt. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I vote that. Though I did tell them I want to take them advantage of the free 2 years that they get.
That was the best thing ever.
I was like,
I highly recommend.
Like, I want you to take advantage of that. But then we can do trade school or, you know, figure out where you want to go from there or what we want to do. But equipping them for college is, again, because you're going to be, it's not as regimented. It's a come when you can. You are responsible for your going to class, for coming home. Its parents aren't as involved. And again, on a college campus, you're hearing everybody's voices a lot louder than you heard them in high school.
And, you know, professors give their opinions on things and they're very, you know, a lot of times politically based one way or the other. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you get to these social classes and philosophy and you run into things when you're sheltered into a small church that you don't see. I know, which I didn't grow up in church, but I grew up in a very rural area, and just, you know, going to college, people who's like, well, I'm an atheist. I didn't know any atheists. Or anyone who would admit to being it in such a, you know, small town that I grew up. But, I mean, you experience so much. It's a crazy time.
Mm-hmm. What are your guys' how you guys minister to these kids? Like, how are you trying to equip them? Like, what do you think, how should we try to equip the next generation?
It's a lofty question. I mean, we just want them to have a foundation in the Word, and it's that verse in 2 Peter, and it talks about having you know, a stance for your faith. Like, when somebody asks you, be able to give them a response. And so we want the youth to be able to leave us and go, and if somebody asks them something, be able to say, well, this is why I believe what I believe, and this is what I believe, and here's why I know this is what I believe. So we just want them to have a biblical basis to navigate things on.
That's so important because, you know, a lot of times we're just a product of our culture. You know, we go to church because our parents went to church. We believe because our parents believe, our grandparents believe. And then you get to other worldviews, and it's so easy to be swayed this way or that way. So, I mean, that's just perfect. And do you have any suggestions for, like, parents, what they can do to kind of help equip their children as well?
Ask them questions. Make them give you answers and responses. That's something we talk about all the time, too, in youth, is not being a cultural Christian. Like, we don't want you all just to be good at being a Christian. Like, that doesn't do anything. Like, we don't want you to have all the answers and just go through the motions and just be a cultural Christian. Like, we want them to know it. So when you ask them questions, they have to think about it. And we do. We ask them questions, and they ask us really, really tough questions a lot. Then we have to say, I don't know, let me go look. Let me go find out. Let me go study. And then come back to you. So lots of questions.
I think that's excellent.
It is. That's amazing.
We had, this has been probably, I don't know, we've been in youth for a while now, but probably a year and a half ago, we had probably a month, and all we did was come in, and they had questions for us the entire hour we were in there. And it was hard. I mean, they were brutal questions. And this one of them, I was like, ah, I don't know. We'll figure that one out next week. But they really do have questions. They're curious. That's and I great. See that with them, and I see that at school. They're all looking for something. Now, some of them know what they're looking for. Some of them have no idea, but they're all looking.
It's just being open to answer their questions is pretty much.
Yeah.
And willing. I think the hardest part for parents or even teachers is like, nobody wants to say, I don't know. So, but I think it's perfect that you're like, I don't know, but I'm going to find out. Just give me a minute.
Yeah.
Let me look this up. You know, and so that's something that we, you know, we talked about with apologetics when we were talking about it. Like, that's exactly, like, you don't know, okay, fine, like, you're talking to somebody, like, I'll just we'll table that for now, and then we'll come back and we can have a different discussion once I actually understand the stance you're coming from and kind of understand where we need to go.
And I think that's important for kids to know. It's okay not to know, but to equip them with the knowledge and what they need to find it and find it on their own, and how to use the Bible and how to apply it to their lives. And that is not just this really, really old book that you have to read or you have to read so you don't feel guilty, you know. No, this is God's instructions to us. It's breathed and it's living. We can always go to it and find the answer.
Because I can about guarantee if AJ or Connor raise their hand and ask a question, I'm not gonna know. No idea.
It's like, just write it down.
Yeah.
We'll cover this next week, okay?
And that one goes to Landon.
Landon will do some research and come back to you. I think that's great because it helps you learn too. I think that would be lots of fun. And that's something Stephen and I talked about, especially after the week that we've had with everything with Charlie Kirk. We've sat back and I said, we need to bring our kids into our ministry. We need to understand. We need to make sure that we're available for questions. Because I'm like, our kids know. We go to church every day. I know they're a part of the youth group. I know they're a part of the children's ministry. I know that they know that we do podcasts and that Steve's doing the documentary and that, you know, Steve has his, that he's starting to write a book. Like, he knows all these things, but we don't really talk to them about what we're doing. So even today, Jackson's like, oh, okay, yeah, Grace is coming over. Awesome. What are you guys talking about? I'm like, that's exactly what I want.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't ever ask me what I'm doing in women's ministry or what we're talking about on the podcast, which is, it's fine. But I got thinking, because Steve and I talked about, like, how do we do that? Like, how do we get our kids to kind of be a part to give? Because Steven has a great foundation. And Steve's like, my parents didn't sit down and tell me all that I know. I saw it. We went with my dad to do all these lectures. We went and we saw this thing. We heard my dad speak, and his dad was a teacher. He was the science teacher at his school. Yeah, so he learned from his dad, and it was a Christian school, so it's a lot different, you know. So he could say things that you can't say, you know, or more things, I think, than you can say. How about that? And Steve's like, it's not like my dad ever sat down and had these conversations with me. It was just, that's what we saw. I'm like, well, then we need to start bringing our kids into our ministry because they need to know what I'm talking about at women's. They need to know what you're talking about on the podcast, whether we're listening to them, listening to the podcast, or, you know, but they need to start understanding and seeing, because they know we do this. They know we're involved in the church. They know we go to church. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure that they know why we go to church. It's not just, this is what we do.
Well, but they see it too, because you all live it. Like, that's a big difference too. Like, you can tell kids have a really good meter to tell when you're faking it. I learned that real quick. And yeah, school was humbling, but
I substituted for a while and that was enough. I was like,
yeah, I just tell them now, listen, I don't know, I'll figure it out and we'll get there and you can correct me and it's fine. But they can tell. I mean, they can tell when it's genuine, and that makes a difference too, I think.
Yeah.
I did an internship in elementary school, and that was enough for me.
At least never again.
I learned real quick, if I was going to do it, it had to be high schoolers, because I needed somebody that I could talk to like an adult, because I don't do well at talking to other people's kids like they're kids. I never have. Like, I talk to everybody's kids like they're real kid, like they're real people, you know. And that's not, a lot of these elementary kids did not. I was like, I can't talk to you like I want to.
I think that's important in ministry too. Like, we try to stress with the youth all the time, you're just as much a part of the church as anybody else sitting in there. Like, you all are just a vital part as anybody else. And so, like, we don't ever want to downplay the gospel or downplay anything just because they're kids, because they can handle it.
Oh yeah.
I mean, they're awesome, and they're smart, and they're curious, and they want to learn. So, I mean, yeah, talk to them like they're adults. Like, treat them like they're adults, because they, I mean, they're going to be before too long.
Oh, way before too long. Way before we're ready.
Yeah. Jackson, this morning on the way to school, he said something. I was like, that was a very adult. That was a very adult, like, sentence you just said. He goes, I say that all the time. Like, maybe not with your man voice. Like, I don't think I've heard you say it with that. He's like, it's just because it's early.
Well, my 8-year-old said he was on the first step of becoming a man because he got hurt today and he does brave things, like lift weights. So I've got a little while.
He was lifting weights last night by himself. He was out there. He had one of the round ones and he was doing squats.
There you go.
Bless his heart. This he has more motivation than I do.
This morning he said, my legs hurt.
I'm sure he did. Holy smokes.
They're still kids though, because Jackson and the other Jackson and Landon were sleeping above me all summer at camp, and at 1 a.m. they're up there giggling like little girls, and they came and got all the Doritos out of the box, and Landon would stop and buy them Cokes on his way up, and so they sat and giggled all night. So they're still little.
But see, that shows me that you guys are exactly where you guys need to be. That our youth pastor will do that with our youth.
Oh, yeah.
And take them disc golfing, you know, and just spend time with them that's not just sitting at church. That there are no words to express how much I appreciate the fact that you guys are there. You're not just there on church days.
You're investing in their lives.
You're a part of their lives.
And that means so much. And, like, you know, it's like what both of you talking about, growing up in youth and what it meant. I mean, we can see it in our teens now.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic.
Well, I love them a lot.
Okay, they love you.
They're
too.
They're awesome. They're special.
What's it like in East Tennessee being a woman preaching?
I have a hard time. Like, with myself, back and forth, because I would never, like, look at myself as a preacher. Like, the youth will, like, say, like, Landon's youth pastor. I would never, ever look at myself like that. Like, I'm Landon's wife, and I teach on Wednesdays sometimes. Like, I don't know. It's it's hard. I don't know. It's hard for me to wrestle. Like, I mean, our church has been like, yeah, let's go, Gracie. Like, figure it out. Sink or swim. Here's you and Landon got it. So they've been awesome and very encouraging. And our youth, I mean, they're awesome. They don't care. They'll get right with me. But it is, I don't know, it's hard for me to wrap my head around, because I grew up in a church where that was not a thing. Like, our youth pastor's wife was very, very involved. Her name was Angel, and she's a wonderful, wonderful lady. But, I mean, she didn't teach. She would lead little Bible studies with the girls. But, I mean, she didn't teach on Wednesdays. That was what Todd did. Todd always taught. So, I don't know. It's sometimes I feel like I wrestle back and forth with it. Like, where do I need to be and what's my role mm-hmm. in all of this?
But it's important that you express your point of view too, yeah. you know, because your perspective of how things are and your experience. And I mean, that goes a long way for the boys and the girls, you know?
Yeah. And Landon's really good about that too. Like, even if he's teaching, he like looks over, you got anything? So it's, he lets me pop in there too sometimes, even when he's mm-hmm. teaching.
It's nice that he recognizes that you have an opinion that needs to be heard. Like mm-hmm. Steve will understand, like, you have a different perspective mm-hmm. on this. So I want you to say your perspective, you know, so that way we kind of get a well-rounded idea. Because, again, you're going to bring something to the table that he can't bring. Plus, you have girls in youth, too, that mm-hmm. are going to, that need to be able to have those, like, any kind of conversations with you. You know, and to be able to feel comfortable with you, and the fact, and you're giving them confidence by talking, you know, in church, by preaching.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Even if we don't call it preaching, because I don't call it preaching what I do either. I don't like it, because that's not my role. However, nobody likes to talk during women's ministry, so then I end up preaching. What kind of resources do you guys use, other than obviously the Bible, you know, but do you guys utilize other outside resources, or like, what would you, what would you suggest we look at as parents?
Well, I use God Questions all the time for everything.
It's my favorite.
Because they have hard questions and helps me mm-hmm. answer them. But God Questions is great. I mean, they have videos. They have the website. Like, if I'm putting a lesson together for Wednesday night or something, like right now we're going through Mark, and that's really neat because I can go in and look up questions that I have. And mm-hmm. then there's also, I think it's called Bible Ref, which is based mm-hmm. off God Questions, and it takes verse by verse and breaks it down. So that's really good. All the God Questions is great. And I use Blue Letter Bible for mm-hmm. a lot. David Guzik has a commentary, a verse by verse commentary on Blue Letter Bible, and I use that a lot. And Elanin has a lot of resources too. He watches a lot of YouTube videos and all the things, but probably God Questions and Blue Letter Bible are my two go-tos mm-hmm. for everything.
Yeah, I love, we use God Questions mm-hmm. a lot.
It's just so easy to understand.
Very, and they have an app.
Do they really?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't have the app. I need to get the app.
Oh, I just got the
app. I don't either.
I didn't know that.
Even Steve was like, I didn't know they had an app. I'm like, yeah, they have an app. Because that way when I'm sitting here on my phone, I have a question. I can just look, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So it makes it a lot easier. But I do. I also like the Bible Project.
They're good. Yeah.
I like a lot of their. I like their videos because they're very entertaining
mm-hmm.
for
mm-hmm.
me. Because I like watching. Even though I know it's all, I mean, if it is hand-drawn, kudos to that person, but I know it's likely not. But it just looks really cool.
Mm-hmm. It does.
So I use that a lot at the beginning of, like, when we go through books of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
I'll post those a lot. So what do you need from us? Like, what would you tell parents, like, that you guys need from us?
Oh, goodness. I don't know. You all are awesome. Like, me and Landon talk all the time. Like, when we have children, we want to sit down with our youth parents and be like, how did you get these kids to be so awesome? We really do. We talk about you and Steve all the time. Like, when we find out we're having a kid, we want to take Liz and Steve out for dinner and be like, please tell us how you have such amazing children so we don't mess this kid up. But I mean, really just prayer. That's the biggest thing, because mm-hmm. I mean, we don't know what we're doing. We're making it up as we go. We just love them, and we love Jesus, and we want them to love Jesus. Yeah. And so prayer, and when we have a stupid little parent meeting, smile and take our papers and let them go to things. I mean, that's really...
And return those papers.
Yeah, return the papers. But really, no, you all are awesome, and you model Jesus, and the kids see that, and they know that. And I mean,
so if we weren't amazing, so basically, you just want it's just all just a support, making sure that you guys have what you have, mm-hmm. making sure our kids are there, making mm-hmm. sure that our kids are respectful,
and they are.
They always are for other people. I mean, they love you guys anyway. Like, they're going to be respectful to you no matter what, I feel like, because they respect you and Landon because of the way that you guys are. And I think a lot of it is because, just like you were saying, you let them ask questions. You let them in, you know, you're honest with them and you're open with them and you guys have fun with them. Mm-hmm. You know, but it's not just about the fun. Mm-hmm. You know, you guys are giving them the foundation that they so desperately need.
Mm-hmm. And their seniority. Well, them older ones won't let them get away with nothing. Lacey keeps them in their place.
I can imagine. I can see that. It's been nice because this is a youth group. Most of them have been in this church. At least we've been in this church for 6 years. Mm-hmm. You know, and so a lot of them, they've kind of grown up together. Mm-hmm. You know, so they already have that relationship, that comfort. Because mm-hmm. we were in children's church and now we're in youth together. And, you know, so it's kind of nice to have that core.
Yeah. And we're blessed to have such a strong children's ministry because they come out of Anthony and Becky's class with a lot of knowledge and a foundation that's awesome.
Which is where my kids are right now. And sometimes they'll just spit something out and I'm like, how do you know that? Yeah. I feel like I talk and talk and talk and I don't feel like you're getting anything. So how did you get that from class?
For that hour. Mm-hmm. I have you all the time.
Yeah.
I think that's one thing I noticed when I because I always feel like when you're a mother, the first thing you do when you need to volunteer in church is you hit the children's ministry up. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's just a normal progression. At least that's what it was for me. And so when we started going to this church, they said something about they needed volunteers. So I was like, well, that'll get me in the church. And that kind of gets me to know more people, to know more people's kids, you know, and we're trying to make sure that we made this our home. Mm-hmm. So we started there. And I just remember sitting in there with Anthony preaching to these kids. And I was like, holy cow, mm-hmm. I'm impressed. Because the church that we came from, and there's nothing wrong with the church that we came from, but there wasn't one children's ministry. It was classes. Mm-hmm. So it was almost like you were going to Sunday school we had two services, but it was always a Sunday school class. So we would, you know, you'd watch, I mean, granted, okay, I only did the 4-year-olds. So, but you know, you go, you teach your lesson, you watch a video on that lesson, mm-hmm. you do a craft based on said lesson and you have a snack and then you play until your parents pick you up. And again, this is 4-year-old. So I know that it is, I knew that it was different because Jackson, I knew what Jackson, but it was still the same, mm-hmm. you know, it was the same basis. It was just the age progression of that. And I think, and then once they turned into middle school, then they would go into the youth, mm-hmm. you know, but we didn't have, our children's ministry was a heck of a lot different than this. And it was really nice to see that. And the church we went to even before that had a big children's ministry and they had it kind of like the way we were, but it was still a lot more watered down. And I think sometimes I know that there's a time and a place for stuff like that. Cause when you have a massive mix of ages, you want to make sure that they're all understanding, but then you also just want to make sure that the older ones aren't getting left out cause they're spacing out cause they're bored.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think, I was always really impressed with how Anthony preaches. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what Lane and I talk about a lot. Cause it's like, well, we don't want to go over their head, but we try to teach to the high. That's what they told me in school. I don't know if it means anything, but in youth, if you reach the ones that are higher, they're going to either be curious and pick up or they'll get there. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Because then again, they can always ask questions. You can always ask mm-hmm. questions. So you don't want to dumb it down so the kids are just twiddling their thumbs and don't want to come.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the ones that aren't grasping can always ask questions. Mm-hmm.
What would be your suggestion to us as parents to, you know, prepare the kids for school, for hard topics that they might come across in school or with other kids or whatnot?
That's really hard. That is really hard, especially because I don't see it as a parent. You know, I just have, you know, Mac the golden retriever, who is crazy. I don't, you know, there's no babies, but I mean, I do. I look at the kids that I have at school, and you see some, and they are more spiritually mature than most adults, like mm-hmm. some of the kids I have at school. Like, I walked into school one day, and I had, for some reason, I had other kids in there that weren't mine, and this girl put out her Bible. She was reading Job. I was like, what are you reading, sister? Like, this is awesome. And she's just sitting there by herself. You mm-hmm. would not see that.
No.
But, yeah. I mean, just, I guess just that foundation, again, just that they have something to navigate mm-hmm. off of, because they are hit on all sides by everything, whether it's friends or peers or their teachers that don't believe the same thing they do, or mm-hmm. social media that's constantly telling them something. It's just a lot. Like, they're infiltrated on all sides by so many different worldly things.
So many.
Yeah.
And the devil just wants to pull them away and make them ineffective and mm-hmm. keep them from Jesus and knowing that they're loved. So just that foundation.
Yeah.
And that they can come and ask you questions and figure mm-hmm. things out. I don't know. It's hard. Because there's a lot.
It's scary.
It is scary.
Yeah. Scary. As a parent to kids who are not teenagers yet, and I can literally pick them up and put them where I want them,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's a scary thought to send them out. And will it be enough? Will it be enough that they stay with the Lord? You know, will they really follow him with their lives like I want them to, and how I see him, a vision in my head they will be. And it's just, you know, this point in time is trying to get as much equipment, as much knowledge as I can to guide them, and at the same time you're like, oh, am I missing something? What am I missing?
Yeah. Well, and also, like, all of y'all's kids are surrounded by good friends. They have such good people around them too, and I look at that with school. Like, you'll see a good kid and you'll be like, oh, why are you, don't surround yourself with those people. Like, and I look at our youth mm-hmm. too, and they do have people to surround themselves with that mm-hmm. are like-minded and love Jesus and care about yeah. them. And I think that's really important too, because some of those kids don't have
yeah
that
to have
community
that
around them. Yeah,
we always talk about that inner circle and outer circle. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can have an outer circle of people who aren't, maybe they're, you're part of that friend group, but they're not the ones that you go to
yeah.
when mm-hmm. you're having some issues or having some mm-hmm. questions or you're having thoughts. You know, you need to go to your inner that you know have the same mm-hmm. biblical belief that you do, because you know that that's the conversation that you're going to have. Whereas if you go out of that circle, some of the conversations and some of the advice that you have isn't going to be biblically based. But yet you also don't want to close yourself off to people, because otherwise then you're not being a witness. You're yeah. not going and telling. You're secluding yourself and keeping all that telling to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's yeah. not what we're supposed to do either. And I try to bring Jackson up in that way, and Mylan too. But Jackson more, because he's in high school, and I can still remember being in high school. So it blows my mind that I have somebody in high school, because I remember my sophomore year. You know, I remember my senior year. You know, and not, I mean, obviously not vividly, but I remember being that age still. I don't remember middle school so much, except for just little spurts, and heck, no, I don't remember elementary school, you know, but
mm-hmm.
I know my friends, I had a great group of friends. I had a great group of church friends, and I had a great group of school friends. Mm-hmm. We live far enough away from my church that they did not ever, like, my church youth group was 30 minutes away from my house.
Mm.
Which, and that's the way we, people from Michigan, actually, that's how we gauge distance. We don't say miles, we talk about how long it takes to get there. And so I actually asked to get transferred to a different school, because I was like, all of the friends I go to school, like church with, do not go to my school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was early on. This was like early high school, like before I really had like a good mm-hmm. core. But you know, all of my friends were, like, my best friend, she was a Christian, but not the same, you know, as far as in any youth group, you're going to have the kids that just come, you know, you always, and your kids, you always have to have a little bit of give and grace, because you're still trying to figure out who you are, mm-hmm. and you're still going to be a jerk, because your hormones are going all over the place, and you're trying to be cool, or you're trying not to be cool, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so it's so hard to know, but I try to teach them, like, Jackson, you can hang out with whomever you want to, you can, but I don't want you, if they're doing something that you know I might consider committing a felony for you, I said, then don't do it. You know, I don't care if your friends, I mean, I care, so this might sound crass, but I'm like, I don't care if your friends cuss. I don't. Mm-hmm. Because there's days that I do, mm-hmm. You know, and I'm very honest, but I'm working on it. I'm getting much better with the Lord Jesus's help. But I said, I just don't want you doing it. I said, I don't want you using that word like it's a noun or a verb or something. Mm-hmm. It's not an adjective. You know, I don't want you using that in everyday language. Mm-hmm. You know, I said, and I don't care. Some of your friends don't go to church, and that's fine. I said, but mm-hmm. I just want to make sure that you understand that your mission is to show them what it's like. Mm-hmm. I said, and he invites them to church all the time.
Which is great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm very grateful that he has great friends. His friends are amazing. I could not have handpicked better friends, because I probably would have done a lot crappier of a job than God did. Because sometimes when I'm like, oh, this would be a great friend for Jackson, and they turn out to be really not a great friend for Jackson. But you don't notice that. You don't know, you mm-hmm. know, when I'm just seeing it on the outside. But, you know, and I'm like, I don't care. Just when you're going to school, you are nice to everybody. Mm-hmm. I said, I wasn't popular. My sister will disagree with me. And she probably disagreed with me when I said that, as she's listening to this, you know, but I wasn't. But the problem is, I grew up in a school, not the problem. I went to preschool with half the people I graduated with. So mm-hmm. we knew yeah. each other the whole way through. And so just because they knew me doesn't make me popular. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because I hung out with Color Guard. I hung out with the band. I hung out with, and I was in drama. Like I was in choir. I was not popular. People just knew who I was. Because I didn't want to be popular. I didn't mm-hmm. want, popular kids were doing things that I would, I didn't want to be murdered in my high school career by my dad. So I didn't want to be popular. I just wanted to be liked. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to get that into Jackson's brain. And I think he understands that. And God bless Mylan, I think I'm going to have more of a problem, because he likes to be popular. He likes to be, he wants all the materialistic things and all of these things. And so a lot of my raising up is going to be a little different, because he's not Jackson, mm-hmm. you know, and that's fine. It's just, I just have to come at a lot of things a little bit differently mm-hmm, with Mylan. Mm-hmm. So he's the one I pray over. He's the one we ask, make sure he's asking the questions. He doesn't. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to get him to start asking the questions and listening and trying to calm his anxieties and everything. So, because mm-hmm. he is that youth that he absorbs it. He watches stuff more than sometimes I think that I even know. He's watching YouTube or watching, you know, just videos, short reels that are showing up on whatever app I've allowed him to have that he didn't realize it had reels on, you know. And they knew. I waited to tell them, kind of explain who Charlie Kirk was. I waited. It was like 2 days, and they both knew. Oh yeah, we saw that. Like, what do you mean you saw that? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, here I was thinking I was protecting you guys without having to sit down, because Stephen was upset. And but how do you explain that? And so I explained who he was a little bit more. So they, and Jackson said he started watching a lot of the videos and he was really impressed. Mm-hmm. You know, and Mylan's like, yeah, we saw it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you guys. I don't watch the news. I wouldn't have seen that at their age.
They're exposed so much. Just, it's insane.
It is.
And scary.
And it's fast and constant.
Yeah. And so I feel like their attention span, because mm-hmm. mine is gone. Mm-hmm. When I've spent too much time on Facebook, my attention span is, or mm-hmm. Instagram, gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's that instant mindless scrolling.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I'm trying to make myself read. Like, let's read. Let's do this. Let's do that. You know, instead of at night. Instead of, like, if I'm too tired to read, then I'm too tired to be on Facebook. So,
but it's scary too, because they're growing up with all this, and they're mm. you know, we were kind of taught it,
yeah, know, we were literally taught it in high school. Like, literally taught how to use a computer in
yeah.
high school,
yeah. And now they know. And it's, well, just
given one in high school now. My kid has yeah. one. They gave it to us.
Yeah.
We had like the big monitors.
Yeah.
I mean, the biggest thing we did with computers is we would, when we were supposed to be writing our portfolio, we would go in and play consumer, what was it called? Sumo volleyball. You could actually play with other people. And it was, that's what we did. It wasn't scrolling. It wasn't getting any information. It was seeing these fat guys hit a ball back and forth. I mean, that's what we did with our computers. Like, Facebook wasn't even around until I was in college, you know? And
no, but MySpace was around. You probably don't know what that
is. I do. I didn't have it, but I know what it is.
It was. I think that was towards, like, the end of high school. And then Facebook was probably about sophomore year of college.
I think I looked, and I started Facebook the year Steve and I got married. So in 2005 was when I got Facebook.
So I didn't even start until 2007. I'm not a very aware kind of person. I probably still wouldn't have it if my friend said, you need Facebook, I'm gonna make you a page.
You know? To be fair, we've been saying we're gonna get her an Instagram too, because we send her reels and she can't open.
I don't have Instagram. I don't have Twitter.
I don't do Twitter, but mm-hmm. I had to get TikTok because, again,
I don't have that either.
I don't use it. It literally sits on my phone for when Taylor and Hannah send us stuff.
My sister sent me TikToks too, and I can't open them.
Yeah,
I'm like, I can't get that one, guys.
I tried really hard to not get it, and then apparently I downloaded it and left it there. It just kind of disappeared, like, in my many apps. And so, because they sent us something the other day, and I was like, oh, actually, they actually opened the app. Like, what do you mean I have this app? You usually open in a browser. I was like, well, I guess I can just see that that's not an app that's causing me a problem.
But they do know what they are, and they know how to get them. They know, and they're getting into stuff that it's terrifying. What would you say to parents about help them navigate social media?
Social media is hard. I mean, I still had a flip phone. Like, I'm not that young. Like, I do still get yelled at in the hallway because I think I'm a kid, but I'm not. So, I mean, I was older when I had social media, but my sister wasn't. She was a lot younger.
Yeah.
So it is hard. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if it's like set some kind of limit or boundary, or they have to set that, or they have to figure it out. I honestly don't know, because I see it at school and they don't know. I mean, they're just know that that's what they use and they like it, and it's mm-hmm. instant gratification, and yeah. that's just what they do. Like, even with the phone ban in the state of Tennessee, it's that's what they reach for. That's what they gravitate towards. Like, mm-hmm. oh, I'm done with my work. Can I get my phone out? Well, no, it's illegal now. Sorry. So I tell them, makes me feel better. But that is just, I don't know. It's just what they do. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's much thought behind it.
There's yeah. not.
And it's just what they go to.
I think for me, it's hard for me to help them navigate when I'm having a difficult mm-hmm. enough time navigating it.
Yeah.
Mylan made fun of me because I had, when I have the apps on my phone, or even if I not, because this is, Sean actually taught me this, that even if I set a timer, like if you put like a, this is how long you can be on Facebook before it tells you it's going to shut it off.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, they shouldn't let you bypass that. That's just my opinion. Second of all,
it was that 15-minute button, 15 yeah, more minutes. Yeah,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, and so, but even if you use it on the browser, it'll still count it, which I thought was really cool, because that's really nice, because I delete the app off my phone, so it's not as accessible, but then I'll still go to the browser sometimes. But it still says, okay, you've been on it today for 30 minutes. You're done.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I'm really good and said, oh, you're right. I am done. I should be done. Other times I'm like, just kidding. I'm having a bad day. I don't want to think, mm-hmm. you know. And that's also, again, that's not what I need to do. But how do I tell them? But Mylan made fun of me. He goes, you have a timer on your phone? You set yourself up? I'm like, yes, I did. Yes, mm-hmm. I did.
Yeah.
You know, I said, because I need to be conscious of how long I'm on it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, they don't understand how long they're on it. Mylan was telling me the other night, I just don't have any free time. I'm like, you have free time. Do you want to mm-hmm. know what you do with your free time?
Mm-hmm.
Is you stare at a phone.
Mm-hmm.
So then it goes from 5 o'clock in the afternoon to 9 o'clock in the evening. And I'm like, bed. Again, that's partly on me. That is partly on me. But they only get 2 days a week to be on their things. Today is one of those days. That's why they're so silent. But they only get 2 days a week. That's how, I guess that's how I monitor it as much. It's still not cutting them fully off.
Mm-hmm. But at least it's not waking second.
But summers are hard. So it's like the problem I had with watching TV, they're having with watching their phones. Because if a TV's on and it's even remotely something that might be interesting, I have a hard time focusing on the people that are speaking. Mm-hmm. And the problem is I also find a lot of things remotely interesting. So that's staring at the TV. I've grown out of that. But
well, I think it's hard too, because in the world today, there's no quiet. You know, there's always something going on. And kids don't know how to just stop. Mm-hmm. It's got to constantly be entertained. And it's just, I don't know, it's hard to navigate. It
is. Not entertained.
And what's real and what's not real, you know? Shoo-wee with this AI stuff. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty sure the singing gorilla is not real.
I don't know.
My sister was showing me the talking babies yesterday because I hadn't seen that because I don't have TikTok. And she sat there and cackled the whole time. It was really funny. Because we're a cackling family. You know, we cover that. But I don't know. I do think on the flip side, there is some good that is coming out of it and is going to come out of it. Because I think kids are recognizing that my attention span is shorter and I don't want to sit and be on my phone all the time. Not all of them, but some of them. And I really do think, I mean, you see revival in this generation so heavily. Like, even with Fusion, like, that's in the mountains of East Tennessee, and they're all about it. It's awesome. And none of them are on their phone. I did not see a single phone at Fusion.
That's awesome. Not one.
Because they're engaged and they're there and that's what they want to do. And even with like the Unite gatherings across colleges where these colleges are getting together and thousands of college students are getting saved. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just see it's, I don't know. I think the Lord is going to do something really awesome with the students.
Mm-hmm. I think this is the age group that just is, it's the key. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's the key right now.
Yeah.
Well, I think they've had the hardest, they're going to have the hardest time because there's so much information coming at them from all different directions.
And so much hate.
There's so much hate.
Because, like, even though locked into, like, you know, our little Bible Belt here, you know?
Yeah.
You know, we live with mostly like-minded people for the most part. But they're not protected because they're still getting it from social media. They're still getting, they're seeing just the hate that spills out of people. And it's just, I mean, I find it hard to deal with.
I keep trying to make sure that they also understand that what they see on social media, and it's even what I see, and this is, you know, and I've said this, that the media, social or news or however, is only portraying the extremes. So you only get the extremist Christians who tell you you're going to hell for going to Fun Fest. Or you have the extreme atheists telling yelling at Christians saying you guys are not tolerant, you're rude, you're a racist, you're this or that. And then you have the extreme, you know, somebody from the LGBTQ community just having a moment, you know, and it's always the extreme. So I keep I've said this for years. I said this even during COVID. Walk outside, you know, walk outside and see these people. You know, my sister lives in New York City. Now, you know, that's a completely different culture than it is here, but it's still, you walk outside and these are still people. You know, you're still talking to them. They don't like to look you in the face or say hi. My sister thinks it's hilarious when I visit because I'm just like walking and I'm trying to like say hi to everybody. I'm like, that's what you do. That's what I do in the morning when I walk here. I said hi to everybody I passed this morning, you know.
And they say hi back.
And they say hi back. She told me once, she goes, I've never talked to that neighbor. I can't believe they talked to you. And I'm like, I just looked at them and said hi. You know, and I know I don't think I could ever live there because I do, it's not for me, and I feel a heaviness sometimes when I'm there because it is, it's different, you know, but it's still not what you're seeing. I mean, I'm not saying it's there's always bad with all the good.
Yeah.
Everywhere. I mean, not only we live in the Bible Belt, we also live in the meth belt here, you know, and so there's good with bad no matter what you do.
That is true.
So, you know, it's just a matter of walking outside and talking to your neighbors, talking to the people. Not, I'm not saying, because I'm not one to tell anybody to be social, but going out and doing what your guys' mission is, you know, the being the light, go out and show these people. You don't even need to say anything. You know, they'll see Jesus in you if you're doing it right. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't have to. I mean, and wear your Bible verse shirts. Wear, do what you need to do. But also just know that if you're acting in a certain way, people are already going to know that Jesus is in you.
Yeah. Very true. It is how we live our life. That's the biggest testimony.
It is. I do agree. I think there is some social media that is good, though, because I know that I learn a lot from social media when you're on the right real space, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like when I go on the Mustard Seeds Instagram, obviously my feed is a little different than on my own, because my own is taking it as, well, she's a 42-year-old woman, and so she's... sure, perimenopause is coming up, or she's gonna be in it soon, so let's put all these women over here, you know, and then kids and sports, and because your phone listens to you no matter what. You know, a lot of right now, because we've been talking about so much, apologetic stuff is showing up in my phone, which I love, because it's like, ooh, just another resource. But when I go on the look on the Mustard Seed one, you know, I'm seeing more Jackie Hill Perry. You know, I'm seeing more Lisa Revere. I'm seeing all of their reels. Plus, I follow all of, like, a lot of Christian pages. Some of them I've learned because of you and Landon, that you guys have followed them, because it shows up as, hey, these people follow this. Why don't you do that? I'm like, that's a great idea. You know? And so, you know, so that's a little different. So it's a little more uplifting, because that whole feed for me is all Bible verses. You know, and I mean, I get a lot of Christian stuff just on my regular Instagram page, just because of who I am anyway. But it's not, obviously, when your Instagram is solely that, because that's what the podcast is, it's a lot different. It's a little bit different. So, but you learn a little bit more, and then you start, you know, you can post other things, and you can find things that I'm like, well, I could make a media like that and make it my own. Or it is, again, it's about what you're surrounding yourself with, what books you're reading, what's, podcasts you're listening to, what TV shows you're watching.
I think I'll have a hard time navigating with that with my boys, because so far I've been anti it. So, like, I mean, they don't know what any of that stuff is. You know, they might catch me and been looking at reels, and, you know, and a lot of times they come and I turn it off, because I don't want that to consume them. I want them to be outside. I want them to be playing. I want them. But in today's society, they have to be able to connect. Yeah. And that's the only way, really, to connect. You know? And I don't know where that line is.
I don't know. It's hard.
Right now, they're pretty young, so I'm okay with them not having a line. The most, any kind of, you know, technology is they play Minecraft on PlayStation a couple times a week. So that's gonna be my, I don't know where to start, when to start.
Jackson got his phone when he got into middle school, because he started playing soccer, and so he was at school after school. And I needed a way to communicate with him.
Yeah.
That's when he got a phone. Unfortunately for Mylon, or for me and Jackson, because he likes to bring that up, Mylon got it a lot sooner. Because then Mylon got it last year, maybe a year and a half ago, because Jackson, I think it was when Jackson was in eighth grade, so like about a year and a half ago, because Jackson, again, was staying after for soccer, and Mylon had to ride the bus by himself. And that freaked me out. So then I let him, I said, take your phone, keep it in your bag. I don't want to, if you get this taken away, I'm going to murder you gently,
mm-hmm.
you know, respectfully. But, you know, I'm like, you have to keep this in your, keep it. I want it on, but I want it on silent because I need to know when you leave school mm-hmm. and I want to make sure that you're okay, you know, because it's, mm-hmm. they're on the bus for 15 minutes, but it still makes me nervous mm-hmm. because it's somebody else driving your kid.
Yeah.
With a whole bunch of other kids. Though I love my our bus driver. I hope that man never retires until Mylan can drive himself to school. I know that's not going to happen, but that is my wish. Do you have any questions for us?
Oh, I should have prepared questions.
I should have told you to. I didn't even think about it until just now. I was like, we're going to ask you bunches of questions.
I was so worried. I looked around and said, how am I going to answer these questions? I was like, I am never in a box of rocks. Like,
you are so not.
I don't know. Actually, he read the text. He said, these are your questions. And I looked at him and said, I don't know. And then he just laughed. So I was like, oh, it's not going to be good. Well, what do you all want to see from the youth group? Like, what do you want us to be doing? Like, how can we partner with you all? Because that's what it's about anyway. So how can we partner with you all?
Honestly, I feel like everything that you've said sitting here, it gives me a lot more insight because I trust you guys with my kid's life. You know,
we did take him about everywhere we went this summer. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Literally.
Which is fine. And obviously that shows that I trust you with my kid's life. But I love, you said exactly what I want our kids to do. Like, just, you're equipping them. Mm-hmm. You're making sure, you mentioned 2 Peter. I mean, that's one of the apologetic verses, you know, like there's, mm-hmm. You're giving them that foundation to go out into the world, which is exactly, that mm-hmm. is literally probably the only thing I could ask of you, you know, cause I want my kid to have a safe place to go. I'd rather, mm-hmm. if he doesn't feel comfortable or doesn't want to disappoint Steve or myself, I know that he would feel comfortable enough to call you or call Landon mm-hmm. and say, hey, this is where I'm at. Like, I don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I have with full faith that whatever you guys would say would be what we would say.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think there's anything that you guys could do different.
I mean, it's awesome to see just how much the youth is getting into everything mm-hmm. and the trips y'all have planned and the, just how excited they are to come to church. Mm-hmm. And no, it's not just because they're coming in and playing games. You know, we know they're learning, which is fantastic. It's just, it's, you're always worried what your kid is hearing and what they're taking in because, you know, they're so easily molded. Like a mold.
Mold.
That doesn't sound right. It's coming out of my mouth. But anyway. I was like, the more I said it, the more it didn't sound right.
We know what you mean.
It's fine.
But it is. It's really, it feels good to know that they're learning and you're equipping them. So.
And you guys are present too. When church gets out, you guys are still there. Landon's mm-hmm. coming in and leaving you alone. But Landon's coming in and saying hi to everybody in church. He does.
I hide though. That's probably bad. I just say,
but
I'm
you're
with
always.
The youth. Yeah. I guess I'm supposed to stay with him.
Difference is though, you're not shying away when people come and talk to you. You know, like you're available.
Yeah.
Like we congregate around you. Just, yeah. You know, and that
we can move.
Yeah, we
migrate around that little patch of grass. Right there.
We it's come like to cats. Your comfort zone and we just blow it up. That's what we do.
That's fine.
Cause we all need that every once in a while.
Yeah.
You know, and I just, you guys are, you're involved. It's not like, that's not just your ministry. Mm-hmm. Prior to you guys doing it full time, I mean, you guys were on the worship team so that people knew your face.
Mm-hmm.
People miss your face on the worship team. I am one of them. But I also believe in this mission more than the worship team.
Yeah.
Sorry, Travis. but I think, you know, you are doing exactly what you guys are doing. I know mm-hmm. I mentioned it before, but do you want to say what your guys' mission statement is? Like what our youth group is called and why?
So the youth group is 5:16, and that's the church's mission verse and kind of their mission statement. But we took it and put it on a t-shirt, so it's official, you know.
But it's yours.
Yeah. It's to let their light shine. That's the whole goal, that they would see their good works and glorify the Father.
Mm-hmm. And I think they see that with you guys, and I think you guys are equipping them to do that.
Mm-hmm. We can see you investing in their life. Yes. And that's what makes them so comfortable with you guys and takes some of the worry off us, like Liz said, when they run into these, when they see something that's not right, when they run into these troubles or these hard questions, you know, we know that they will turn to you guys. And sometimes that's easier than turning toward their parents.
It is. Mm-hmm. I think you need to have that. I mean, you guys are young enough to still be cool, you know, but
depends on which one you ask.
But you're young. Like, they all, like, I've seen it with the girls, you know, I see it with, to see even the people that have come because we've tried to encourage them, like, hey, everything's a little bit different. You know, we have a place for these youth to go, you know, and they're moving. Mm-hmm. You know, you guys have brought this youth group and put it into our community. Like, you guys are a part of Fusion. You guys were a part of Camp Hope. And now, you know, you guys are a part of literally the base of Camp One, you know. And so you guys have such a vision and such a heart for these youth that it's contagious. And I think that's why the youth keeps growing, even though I know it doesn't feel like it because we were probably one of the smallest ones, I'm assuming.
Actually, no.
Really?
Well, we were this last Fusion because it was 6:05 and me and Landon were sitting in the parking lot going, all these kids stood us up. But they eventually showed up. We had a lot of people out of town and sports. It was, yeah. This one was just on an odd day. But, I mean, on Sundays, we have 20 or more. I mean, and that's pretty typical for most. Now, there are some bigger churches around here, but most of them are in that same realm. Considering it was 2 and now there's 20.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the kindness of God. I mean, that wasn't us. I mean, shoot, no. That's just, I mean, it's them going and telling their friends.
But it's God using, working through you.
And you're open to.
And I cut you off. I apologize.
And you're open to what the Lord is doing. So yeah. It's showing in the blessing that they're coming. He's leading them to you guys.
I still want you to discredit yourself and what you guys do. Like, yes, it's God, but God is using you, you know, because he knew that you have a specific skill that these girls need and that these kids need, and that you and Landon together have a specific skill that all of these kids needed, you know, together. So Landon might be the youth pastor, but so are you. But I understand. I'm that same way. Like, Stephen, everybody's like, oh, tell me about yourself. Well, let me tell you about my husband. This is what he does. This is what my kids do. That's me. Mm-hmm. That's who I am. I read. Yeah. I read and I married a man. That's me. All right. Well, we thank you for coming out of your comfort zone and coming and sitting in my kitchen.
Well, thank you all. It was fun.
This is fun. And we'll let you detox from this and then we'll have you back again.
Well, thank you all for loving us and loving the kids and encouraging us and them and cheering them on and supporting them and doing all the goofy little things with them that we make them do. And so thank you all.
It is our pleasure. We want to thank you all for listening to the Mustard Seed Podcast and for joining us on this journey that God laid on our hearts. I know it's hard to feel connected when we are on this side of the microphone, so we wanted to make sure that you knew that you could connect with us on Facebook and Instagram at the Mustard Seed Podcast. Our Facebook group is a community. We share funny memes, Bible verses, and just life. You can reach out however you feel comfortable. We want to build the community that we advocate for on this podcast, the Come As You Are. Our table will never be too crowded and cannot get too big. You belong here, and we want to connect with you.